Okay, back for vaccination dose number two. Mary, who is an employee health nurse, absolutely on the front lines of everything going on, is going to administer it. Same deal, rubbing a little alcohol on and a little poke. Last time I couldn't come up with the word alcohol, the trauma surgeon. Stick. See, just like that, it's all done. Ladies and gentlemen, now I feel like Superman. Easy peasy. They make us wait now for 15 minutes just to make sure there's no overt reaction that develops, and then I'll be on my way. Once again, easy peasy.
Easy peasy. That's all it took. Dr. Steve Salzman, Green Care Medical, joins us. Now, you made it. You got your second dose. How you feeling?
I did. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. So, Owen, well, I want to point something out here, Dr. Steve. You actually received the vaccine before Queen Elizabeth. Did you know that? She just got it over the weekend.
And
I know you got yours Friday. It's quite the priority. I like it. I like it. You're here to say that it's working, it's making its way to healthcare workers, and that's the first wave. And what are you hearing?
Yeah, listen, I mean, for me, it was perfect. I had absolutely no reaction to number one or number two. I didn't even have a problem with shot soreness in my arm. And that was great. However, I know that there have been several other colleagues of mine who have gotten literally deathly ill, where they feel like they've been run over by a train for like 24 hours or so. And again, it depends on how strong is your immune response once you get these vaccines. You know, that's not necessarily a bad thing when that happens. It shows that you're sort of creating a strong immune response.
So that wouldn't be, what would be a worrisome sort of reaction? Is it like a rash or something? Or what would you say? Okay, so your body's going to react to this potentially, and that's okay. That's it working. What would be a problem?
I think some of the things that would be a problem would be the things we reported about a few weeks ago, like the Bell's palsy, where part of some people's faces droop, which was exceedingly rare. And then, you know, maybe most patients, if they're going to have any problems, it's going to be feeling like they're like flu-like. They have arthralgias, they're a little fever, and they don't feel right. And literally like you have the flu, and then it passes, and within 24 hours, people are usually back to themselves.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you're seeing with your fellow healthcare workers, that they kind of go through something, and then they're okay.
Yeah, I mean, I have not heard of anybody having anything worse than just a sort of flu-like reaction and arthralgia, sort of these body aches for about 24 hours, but that's about the worst of it.
Yeah, that's happened to me after the flu shot before. I've gotten that sort of pain at the sight of it, and then a little bit of like, ooh, you know, just not feeling so good, maybe tired, that kind of thing. I wonder if it's the same sort of reaction.
Yeah, it's exactly. I mean, the flu shot and the COVID shot, it's the same thing. It's just, you know, two different things now. It's a different organism. It's a different virus. And now we're using new technology with the new messenger RNA technology versus some of the older technologies. So very interesting stuff.
All right. So the other interesting thing that I really want to ask you about, and then we want to get to your story, something that I don't even know about, but you told me something happened to you this weekend that was a real wake-up call, because I'd asked you about your best health advice, and you said, you know what, something I got to tell people about. Let's get to that next, but I do want to talk about this new strain of the coronavirus. Here we are, 2021, and one in every 15 Americans has now tested positive for COVID-19 at some point or another. One in 15, the CDC announced over the weekend. So that's where we are. And now they're kind of looking at this new strain found in 8 states. I haven't heard that it's Illinois yet, but I don't know if we should close our eyes and pretend it's not coming here. I mean, what do we know about that strain, right? I mean, what should we know?
Okay, I'm going to break this down so easily. We can't come out of the gate at a 2021 hot. Oh, my God, new variant. Everybody's in trouble. This is all for naught. No. Yes, it's a more contagious variant. It was first ID'd in the UK, and I got news for everybody. Not only have they ID'd that, but there's probably another variant or two that they may have ID'd, and one in Africa that I was reading about. And again, what's wrong, or why are they talking about it in the news? It's because this strain spreads more easily and quickly than the other strains that have been out there. And the UK scientists are saying it's 40 to 70% more infectious. you know, the virus will acquire about one new mutation in its genome every 2 weeks, according to the CDC. So when they talk about this, you know, the UK variant has several mutations that have affected the spike protein on the virus surface that helps attach to human cells. And so in English, what's going on, it's able to bind to receptor cells better, hence you can transmit it better. But that's not all important. Here's what everybody wants to know. Dr. Steve, question one, is it more lethal? No. Evidence actually shows that there isn't any evidence that there's causing of more severe illness or an increased risk of death. Second follow-up question is going to be, oh, my God, is the vaccine effective? And the answer is yes. Likely, it's going to protect against this variant. Obviously, we need data, but it more than likely is going to protect against this variant. The virus would likely need to accumulate multiple mutations in that spike protein to evade immunity that's sort of induced by either vaccines or by people who've gotten the COVID virus and now have built up the antibodies to it. And something interesting happened if we're talking about this. The U.S. has only sequenced viruses in about 51,000 cases, and there are about, what, 20 million plus confirmed cases now? So now what the CDC is going to do is launch this sort of national strain surveillance program, and each state is going to submit at least 10 samples bi-weekly for sequencing. And so, you know, in the end, Anna, this new strain represents 1% maybe of all infections in the U.S. And in a short order, the answer is yes, it's going to be in Chicago more than likely, sooner than later. And number two is it's probably going to become the majority of all new infections. But in the end, the answers are we are making no changes. What was yesterday is today. Wash our hands, wear a mask, social distancing, and when your turn's up for the vaccine, for the most part, unless, you know, all of these sort of small subsets of patients, you line up and get the vaccine.
Yeah. I mean, I hear you on all those things. It's more contagious, not more deadly, doesn't lead to more severe illness. The vaccine works against it. Those are all good things. They're reassuring things to hear. Strain, I guess, was first spotted in September in a part of southeastern England and accounted for a quarter of the cases in London by early November, then by the week of early December. It was responsible for 60% of the cases in the city. It does spread, and it does seem as if you're pointing out that what you're saying is that we should expect this to become the strain that overtakes the other. California, Colorado, Connecticut, Florida, Georgia, New York, Pennsylvania, and Texas have all found it there. You're saying, yes, it could come here. When it's more contagious, what does that mean? If you're closer than 6 feet or you're 7 feet away, I mean, put that into real terms about how we lead our lives. Is there anything we would do differently with something more contagious? Any new health protocols you would expect people to take?
No. See, that's the great question. And the answer is no. There is nothing new. This is just like everything else. More and more data, more and more intense surveillance, more and more genetic mapping. As more information becomes available, you know, we're going to get sometimes confounding, you know, situations and mixed messages. And we all have to expect that the virus is going to continue to mutate. This is what viruses do. And I, like I said, I stand by a lot of the things I still said. I think, remember we talked about getting the vaccine. I said that the majority of people in the audience, right, Anna, kept saying it, March. And I still stand by that's probably when everything gets in order. You know, and there are going to be stumbling blocks with all of this because sometimes we're going to overanalyze information. And there's obviously a massive effort to mass inoculate millions upon millions of people. And there are all sorts of inherent problems with that. And this is, you know, never been seen times. And thank God we've been able to pull a lot of things together and resources together. And oh my God, a vaccine in this amount of time, it's crazy.
Yeah. No doubt about it. And I hope you're right about March. I hope that really starts to make a difference. I know healthcare workers are getting the vaccine, and you've got people over 65 in line next. And you know, I hope that the people get it, and that they, you know, that it really starts making a difference for our lives moving forward. That's the hope, and that it's sooner rather than later. Mutations, though, do concern me, and they worry me, because back in the day when we were first learning about this, that was the one thing, the big scary alarm bells I heard from scientists saying, is that we got to worry that this is going to create new strains and mutations that are more difficult to control. Sounds like we're not there now, but that must be something everyone's watching for.
Sure, right? This is the natural evolution of virus and disease. Today it's COVID. Tomorrow it's Salzman. Who knows the next virus that comes out that they name? By the way, please don't name it Salzman.
But yeah, no, don't want that. You don't want that on you.
No, God, no. I got enough names latched onto me already.
I can imagine. But it is the concern.
Sure. I mean, of course it's a concern, but in the relative short term, it's not going to be a concern. They're not going to make changes to the vaccination. We're not going to have to turn around and about face and come up with new strategies. You know, we social distance, we wear our masks, get the vaccine, and I don't think that this finding is going to mean anything significant in terms of the clinical management and the continuing management of COVID vaccines and COVID patients and the virus itself.
Okay, that's good to hear. We want to pause here for a second, and then I want to get to your story, which I haven't heard yet. I heard it was a wake-up call. I heard, you know, I'd asked you, I said, hey, Dr. Steve, you've always got realistic advice about diet and exercise and overall health and stuff that we can actually follow. I know people make New Year's resolutions. Some people have already broken them. Maybe I don't really make them, but I do try to, especially now I'm focusing a lot more on my health and the health of my family, and I just try to be very mindful of the things you can control. And not worry about the other stuff as much as possible. You've got some ideas for us. You've also got a story. Can you tease the story a little bit? Give us a little taste of what happened to you? You're okay, right?
It reminded me that 2 years ago, I would have hoped what happened versus what it was.
Okay. I don't know what that means, but we'll find out. Dr. Steve Salzman, Green Care Medical, will talk to us, fill us in on his story coming up after this. Dr. Steve is a trauma surgeon by training. So you've seen everything. Nothing freaks you out. Nothing phases you. In fact, I've often had to ask you to dial down the language when you're talking about like blood and all kinds of body stuff, because nothing freaks you out. And it does me. So I'm always sort of like, hey, come on. Let's just bring it down a little bit, because not everybody can handle that stuff. I'm even bad with needles. I'm somebody who said maybe if they wanted more people to take the vaccine, they should stop showing those super close-up shots of everybody getting the vaccine, because it freaks me out. I got to look the other way for them. But that's me. I want to talk about you, because you had something that happened this weekend. I don't know what it is, but you said it was a wake-up call and something that you wanted to share with everybody here at WGN.
Okay. We talk all the time about the low-intensity cardio stuff, the diet, this other stuff. But, you know, what built Green Care Medical was George and I, a long time ago, people who were so bad injured. I mean, you know, you're right, Anna. I see everything. And when I see everything, I see everything. But here's the deal. Why did our practice work? Why was it successful? Because long before I ever talked the talk, I had to walk the walk. And several years ago, I remember waking up after surgery at 2 o'clock in the morning after the eighth surgery. And my legs weren't working, and neither was my bladder. And when you are in that moment, that critical decision point, when you just, that is where you start to learn about yourself and start to really sort of callous your mind and begin to sort of come up with an algorithm to work through adversity. And so with that, fast forward to Saturday, I'm walking, I didn't fall, I didn't hit anything, but I slipped on a piece of carpet. When I slipped on the piece of carpet, I ripped my right shoulder like super hard. It's been bothering me for a while, but I heard it snap instantly, and I knew I tore my right shoulder. And for the next 24 hours, like, I was down and hurt. And here comes Monday morning, Anna, and it's 10 to 4 in the morning, right? Because people get up at 4, And right in my head, I'm starting in with, oh, my God, I hurt so bad. I can't move my arm, my diet, my dish. Everything's going to get messed up. It's all that stuff that goes into your head and starts to eat away at you, right? And you got to get rid of that stuff and that negative thought. And so what did I do? I got up, and I went to the gym. I biked, and I did legs because at least my legs were working. And I think, yeah, my right arm is not working for a while, but you don't just throw it all in, and you don't just pile on top of yourself and start letting everything get away at you. You get yourself together, and you start from the beginning. That's what built the whole damn practice of ours in the first place. It wasn't even like medical cannabis or anything secret. It was major, major things being fixed, but building on small successes. First getting people to sleep, then managing their quote-unquote symptoms, whether it's anxiety or what it's saying. And then it was getting your head and managing, implementing lifestyle things. And now here's my moment where I give all this stuff to the patient, and here we are with them. You know, trying to wipe my butt out, literally I liquid a potential critical incident. It's like a 5 minute.
Hey, Dr. Steve. I think I just heard what you said, but I'm not sure because you're dropping out a little bit, and I'm trying to hear you, and I'm hoping you're okay. But can you either get to a place where there's a little better cell there? I don't know if you can or not, but, or maybe either call and I'm trying to hear the story. Are you okay physically now? How's your shoulder? How's the rest of your body?
No, I'm fine. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen with my right shoulder. But I guess the point is I'm going into the gym. I will continue to stay on top of my diet. It's not about all of these New Year's resolutions. It's setting the appropriate mindset so that not if, but when badness happens and shows up at your doorstep, you have a plan.
Yeah, it's an important thing. You know, I was reading and thinking about you over the weekend because I saw that they've linked just general exercise, even a small amount, to a decrease in people's estimated chances of getting certain cancers and other diseases, and it just matters. And that's why you say in the morning, get up and just do a little something, right? That's your mantra, and it doesn't have to be big.
No, just get up and get started. The first win of the day, I'm telling you, if you just did that, everybody just did that for 1 month, get up and take a walk, have some water, take your hand away from your face and just, you know, level up.
Yeah. It's important stuff. You know, I was reading a Chicago magazine also over the weekend, and they were trying to advise you on what you can do to not be stir crazy as we go through the Chicago winter with not much available to really kind of, you know, do. And they're saying ice fishing and things like that. They said freeze a part of your backyard if you have one. And I thought of you because, did I hear right? You have young kids. Didn't you guys just do some kind of an ice rink in the backyard?
We have an ice rink, and we're going to have a WGN outing on my backyard ice rink in the near future.
I love it. Now, because you fell on the carpet, I'm worried that you should not go near the ice, though. That would be my advice to you, doctor.
No, I've played ice hockey my whole life, except after the back surgeries, I lost, you know, the ability to skate really hard because I lost a lot of muscle.
Oh, well. Maybe it's okay then. I want everyone to be safe. But I appreciate you bringing that up. And thank you for the story. I'm glad you're okay. And I just always love your advice. So, you know, to a happier, healthier 2021 for all of us.
Yes, a happy and a healthy New Year to everybody. And I'll talk with everyone Friday.